Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, March 22nd, 2020. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope everybody out there is, doing all right. I know we're in crazy times right now with the coronavirus, and a lot of us are stuck at home, whether it be through a self-quarantine or, a state-ordered quarantine, or, maybe your whole country or wherever. I mean, things are just changing second by second, it seems like. So wherever you are, whether you're at home or you're somewhere where it's safe to be out and about, whatever the situation is, I hope that everybody out there is safe, everybody out there is healthy, and, we'll all get through it, just one day at a time, we'll get through this, but it is really crazy times. But that's all I'll say about the coronavirus situation on this show. I just want to talk some pro wrestling, give everybody a little bit of a chance to escape, kick back, relax, and just chill out, and let's talk some pro wrestling. We got a lot of results for you guys. We got GCW, Impact, ROH, 205 Live, and NXT UK. We don't have any results for the National Wrestling Alliance this week. The NWA has postponed any new episodes of NWA Power, and they've also postponed the Crockett Cup, which is a bummer because I really think the Crockett Cup is an awesome, concept. It's an awesome concept, that's what I was trying to say. I thought last year's tournament was a lot of fun to watch, and I know it's a revived structure from, they used to do the tournament years and years ago, but it's a bummer because the NWA was really gaining steam, and, their YouTube channel is basically the lifeblood of their whole company at this point. So it's one of those things where, you have NWA Power, you have their new Circled Square show, you have the fantastic 10 Pounds of Gold series, and, they were gaining more and more momentum, in my opinion, heading into the Crockett Cup, and now they have to postpone it. But obviously, it makes sense that, you just have to do it. There's no way around it. All these other shows, especially on the independent scene, they're having to cancel a lot of their shows. The WrestleMania stuff has constantly been changing. Impact Wrestling, not sure what they're going to be doing. You have AEW that done some empty arena stuff, and so is, NXT and WWE. We got some clip shows here and there from different companies. You have full-on cancellations, so things are just so up in the air. So I fully understand anybody's decision to postpone the Crockett Cup, and it was supposed to happen here in Atlanta, Georgia, and I know from personal experience with this whole coronavirus situation, like I said, I'm not going to touch too much on the whole thing, but since we're talking about NWA Crockett Cup, it wasn't going to happen here, and for what it's worth, the city of Atlanta pretty much everything is shut down in the city of Atlanta. I live, technically, it's strange, I live in Sandy Springs, but it's basically Atlanta, but technically it isn't, so a lot of the small businesses and stuff are still open around here. It's still fairly normal where I'm living. I mean, the small gyms are still open, the ones that have, letting 10 people or less in to do private sessions and stuff like that. I've seen barber shops, and I've seen, the laundromat up the street and all this kind of stuff where, I've seen people go in and out. There's cars driving around on the street, so it's strange. It's really strange, but I know that there's no way the NWA could have run their show in Atlanta because there's just no way that was going to be possible with, the limited amount of people that would have been allowed in the show. And yeah, so it's just a bummer, but that's to say there is no NWA results this week because everything with their company is postponed at the moment. And luckily for us here on the Weekender, Impact, Ring of Honor, and NXT UK were all pre-taped, so we have all the results for that. 205 Live happened right after SmackDown Empty Arena. And like I mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to talk some GCW here today as well. We have some news for that. So I guess I'll just use that as a transition. So GCW has actually recently inked a new deal to stream their live shows on IWTV, which is a huge deal, especially because Smart Mark Video recently signed something with IWTV as well. That platform is just the place to be, in my opinion, for anything that has to do with independent professional wrestling. for $10 a month, I'm not endorsed or sponsored to say this stuff, but for $10 a month, there's so much good content, so many different companies, so many incredibly talented, you know, just performers of all ages. I mean, you'll see everything at IWTV, and it's something that I think that everyone should check out if you're a fan of professional wrestling. And speaking of IWTV, I'll be giving you, of course, like I said, the results for GCW's Acid Cup 2. But before we get into all the results, I do want to give you a recommended show to watch on IWTV. And my recommended show this week is Southern Underground Pro's Shorter, Faster, and Louder. So the company is called Southern Underground Pro, also known as SUP, S-U-P. And the show is called Shorter, Faster, Louder. SUP is obviously a company, if you're a longtime listener, that I hold very near and dear to my heart. I lived in Nashville, Tennessee for the better part of this past decade before recently moving back to Atlanta, Georgia. SUP runs out of Nashville, and this was a great show to be able to see put on because this happened on March the 15th, so last weekend, and they did it in front of a small crowd inside of a bar called the Exit Inn, or a music venue, I should say, that called the Exit Inn. They normally ran their shows out of the Basement East, which is also a small music venue slash bar, and the Basement East was destroyed in a recent tornado in the Nashville area. It destroyed a lot of East Nashville, and that's where the Basement East was located, and that was really the home of Southern Underground Pro. I mean, SUP had become synonymous with that building, and it was great to see the Exit Inn, you know, pick up the ball and allow SUP to do their show there. And the show was fantastic. If you want to check this out on IWTV, these are the matches to expect. We had AC Mack, Alan Angels, and Sean Dean taking on Mr. Brickster and the Mason-Dixon line. This is part of the ongoing feud between the promotion Action Wrestling and SUP. They're basically sister companies that have a lot of the same people involved. And they have basically it's almost like guerrilla style warfare. It's like it's pretty awesome how people are going back and forth from company to company in this all out brand war. And yeah, awesome stuff. So the great 6-man match to kick it off. We had Gnarls Garvin versus Nolan Edwards. The team of Violence is Forever, Dominic Guarini and Kevin Koo, taking on Molly McCoy and Boomer Hatfield. This was nuts because Boomer Hatfield is someone I've been aware of for a long time, mainly through Chikara, and somebody I never expected to see in a SUP ring, and it was cool to see him for sure. Guarini and Koo becoming better and better every time I see him out there. I mean, just a great tag team. Great individually, but even better as a tag team, in my opinion. And I've been a fan since Sad Comp, which is their old tag team name. Still got one of those t-shirts in my room right now. We had Donnie Janela taking on Cabana Man Dan. We had a SUP scramble match, which was just insane. SUP is basically known for, if there's anything SUP is known for, they're known for quite a few things, but one of those things is definitely the SUP scramble. You see a lot of up-and-coming talent, and a lot of the time, these guys and girls are making their name at SUP through the scramble matches. Like, depending on how you do in a scramble, depending on how like the crowd you're received by the crowd, usually gets you booked in the future with SUP, and or not booked depending on how it goes. But you know, really cool stuff. Always down for a SUP scramble match. We had Benjamin Carter versus Brett Eisen in a total banger. Brett Eisen, somebody I've talked about at length on this show so many different times. I've interviewed him multiple times. Great dude, awesome wrestler, and he's basically the Alley Cat is known as the heart and soul of SUP, but Brett Eisen is now known as the gatekeeper of SUP. And I don't mean, excuse me, and gatekeeper isn't meant as a dig. Like in mixed martial arts, a lot of the time the term gatekeeper refers to somebody who, you know, never became the champion and never will, but like if you can beat them, then those people usually got title shots or became champions. I actually did a great video, in my opinion it was a great video, of course, you know, I edited it, so I think that, but over at MMA on Point, there's a video that went out a few weeks ago, the top 10 gatekeepers in MMA history, and if you check that video out, that pretty much explains the term gatekeeper is received in the MMA community. That being said, Brett Eisen is basically the, I don't know the best way of putting it. Like, he's their longest champion of all time. He lost the belt recently to AC Mack. AC Mack is, of course, also the action wrestling champion, and it just fuels the fire on this whole action versus sup feud. So Brett is still one of, if not the top guy in sup, in my opinion, like as far as like a true sup talent. Benjamin Carter, on the other hand, is somebody who has done things with sup here and there, but is recently really coming into his own. Like, this kid is fantastic. He's getting better and better and better. I'm familiar with him mainly from the Chattanooga area, like the SCI, that kind of stuff. And he is somebody that, I mean, he had some matches with B-Boy recently, just fantastic. So Benjamin Carter and Brett Eisen, you know, definitely keep a lookout for both of those guys. And in the main event, we had Manders taking on Jaden Newman in a bunkhouse brawl. And this was the culmination of a feud that's been going on for at least the last year. I mean, to summarize, basically, you know, I can't even remember how long ago this was. Maybe 2 years ago? I mean, this has been building for a long time. But there was a wrestler on the indies named Teddy King. And he was the varsity athlete, was his gimmick. And he was basically just that all-around jock asshole. And the one called Manders, a.k.a., you know, Manders or Steve Manders, he was basically the lackey slash protege of Teddy King. And they were basically like the varsity athletes. Like, Manders used to come out in Iowa University, I think it's Iowa or Iowa State, I'm not sure. He used to come out in a in like a Letterman jacket, and so did Teddy King. And Jaden Newman was a part of their group, but he was known as JV Newman, and he was like their whipping boy, and he was constantly getting beat down and just totally pathetic, right? And over time, Teddy King wound up actually leaving the wrestling business. Manders went on to win the SCI Future Showcase in Chattanooga. And that same weekend, basically, there was a double turn at SUP where Manders and Newman just, like, it was a complete double turn. And through the fans getting behind Manders and Jaden becoming increasingly annoying, essentially, they just complete double turn. So by the time this match has actually happened, Manders is the babyface, Jaden Newman is the heel, and this was a wild match. They had some spots in this one that, I mean, I'm happy that both guys are okay coming out of this one, and for good reason. I mean, these guys went out there and just completely went after it. They both completely deserved to have that main event spot, and very proud of both guys. And I also want to give a shout out to AJ Gray, who did some commentary. So did Wheeler Yuta. Both very good on commentary, but AJ Gray especially. That guy is so damn entertaining. I'd prefer to watch him in the ring, obviously, because he's a great wrestler. But if anything were to ever happen, or he wanted like a side hustle of some kind, AJ Gray on commentary is the man. Like, I'll take AJ Gray on commentary on any show from now on that they want to put him on. Just fantastic stuff. And SUP already has a great commentary team. Usually it's Stephen McCash and Dylan Hales, and Dylan was unable to make it to the show, so Stephen McCash was on commentary, did an awesome job as always, and AJ Gray and Kurt Stallion were peppered in here and there. Also, Righteous Jesse has done commentary in the past for them, who is one of the guys who actually founded the company. No longer a part of the ownership group, if you will, but still heavily involved with the company, and in my opinion, the best ring announcer in all professional wrestling. So once again, that was Southern Underground Pro's Shorter, Faster, Louder, and it is available on demand on IWTV. And speaking of IWTV, another show that's on demand right now, it's a two-night show. I'm going to give you the results for this. So this is going to kind of be spoilers if you plan on watching the show. So I apologize. You might want to fast forward, maybe 3, 4, 5 minutes. But I'm going to give you the results, actually, for the Acid Cup 2, Nights 1 and 2. And as I mentioned, GCW now has a deal to stream live on IWTV, which is just completely awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome stuff. And for those of you who might not know, the Acid Cup is named after Trent Acid, who passed away of a drug overdose in 2010. And Trent Acid is one of the guys, he was one of the first names that I ever knew as, like, strictly as somebody of an independent wrestler. Like, I don't know how to really explain it. I guess kind of like back in the day when I became more and more aware of what indie wrestling was, you know, things outside of, you know, WCW, ECW, WWF, that kind of stuff. When I started digging really deep and becoming a fan of indie wrestling back in, like, the early 2000s, Trent Acid was one of the guys that really drew me in. I thought he was a superstar, like, especially on the indie scene. He was a superstar on the indie scene, and he's somebody that never made it on a main stage, and I think that was because of his own personal demons. You know, he was definitely talented, and most of, if not all of his peers, you know, for the most part, all did make it. The people that you saw him wrestling against, people he was in the ring across from or standing next to on the indies for a long time, a lot of these people are now major stars or have had their runs. I mean, Trent Acid is somebody that it's really cool to see him being, you know, his memory living on through tournaments like this, because you never really hear anything about him anymore. But back in, like, the early 2000s on the indie scene, he was one of the top guys. Like, as far as people that I was a fan of when I first got into indie wrestling, Trent Acid, Amazing Red, Paul London, those kind of guys were the guys that, like, really drew me in. And I'm definitely missing a lot of people. There were so many great wrestlers on the scene back then, but Trent Acid, you know, RIP, just, it's crazy. It's already been, like, 10 years. But the concept of the Acid Cup is basically it's a two-night tournament. I'm going to give the results for all the matches. And so, spoiler alert once again, here we go. Opening round, we had KTB defeating Cole Radrick. The finish came when KTB makes Radrick tap out to a single leg Boston Crab. Another opening round match, we had Shane Mercer defeating Lucky 13. Finish comes when Mercer grabs 13 and hits the assault and battery for the 1-2-3. Next opening round match, we had Alley Cat defeating Atticus Coger. Alley Cat gets the win with a roll-up after a distraction from Nick Gage. Big win for Alley Cat. She's one of my favorite female performers in the world. I don't talk about her enough, probably, but she's going to be a big deal, I think. She's somebody that is going to be in kind of the next wave of indie talent to get a lot of attention, whether it's Impact Wrestling, AEW, or NXT. I'd imagine probably more likely AEW or Impact. It would be my guess, just complete guess. I don't really see her going to NXT, but, I mean, she could, but I think she'd probably have to change her gimmick quite a bit, whereas the other companies would allow her to do more of what she's done to become successful on the indies. But, you know, huge win for Alley Cat there. Another opening round match, we had Jordan Oliver defeating Ellis Taylor. The finish came when Taylor gets hit with a stunner and then a spinning side slam by Oliver for the 3 count. Next opening round match, Matthew Justice defeats Jimmy Lloyd. The finish comes when Justice hits a series of Death Valley drivers onto chairs on Lloyd for the 3 count. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Matthew Justice is, he honestly has the potential to be the biggest star in all professional wrestling. He has every tool you would want out of a wrestler. Everything. He's somebody that I think, I mean, he could be put on any major wrestling promotion right now and be the top guy, and it would work. You'd obviously want to build it in the right way, but Matthew Justice, I think the world of that guy. I really think that he's going to be a massive superstar in professional wrestling. Next opening round match, Blake Christian defeats Benjamin Carter. And I was just talking about Carter. This was a great match. Christian gets the win after hitting the Hidden Blade and a 450 splash for the 1-2-3. So Christensen moves on and defeats Benjamin Carter. Next opening round match, Chris Dickinson defeats Pinky Sanchez. The finish comes when Dickinson hits a German suplex for a 3 count after a banger. We had another opening round match. This is the last of the opening round matches in the last match of the first night. Nick Gage defeats Manders. Obviously, I was just talking about Manders from SUP. Gage gets the win with his patented choke breaker for the 1-2-3. So those are the night one results. Night two results coming up right now. Started off with a quarterfinal matchup. Shane Mercer defeating KTB. The finish comes when KTB puts the single leg crab on Mercer and then rolls him up after getting free for the three count. Next quarterfinal matchup, Blake Christian defeats Matthew Justice, gets the win with a 619 and a handspring DDT onto a chair for the 1-2-3. Incredible stuff. Both guys, so good. Blake Christian and Matthew Justice. Obviously, just put over Matthew Justice huge, but huge shout out to Blake Christian as well. Next quarterfinal matchup, Chris Dickinson defeats Alley Cat, gets the win with his lariat for the 1-2-3. Chris Dickinson has a nasty lariat. Like, I'm totally fine with people still using, you know, clotheslines and lariats and those kind of things as finishes when they look good, and Chris Dickinson always makes it look good. Next quarterfinal matchup, Jordan Oliver defeats Nick Gage, and the finish comes when Atticus Koger comes out to distract Nick Gage. Oliver winds up kicking a chair into his face for the 1-2-3, so huge win for Jordan Oliver. Anytime you defeat Nick Gage in GCW, no matter who you are, I always consider it an upset. I always consider Nick Gage to be the favorite in every match when it comes to GCW. So, huge win there, in my opinion, for Jordan Oliver. After that, we had a social distancing match, which was... I don't really know how to explain it. I don't even want to ruin it. If you want to check this match out, there's been clips online going viral of them hitting moves on each other without touching each other, that kind of stuff. But Joey Janela versus Jimmy Lloyd, Janela wins the match, and he gets the win after he sanitizes a door and then puts Lloyd through it. Next up, we have the semifinals kickoff, first semifinal match in the Acid Cup. We had Chris Dickinson defeating Shane Mercer. Finish comes when Dickinson is hit with the assault and battery. So Mercer hits the assault and battery on Dickinson, and Dickinson just rolls through the move, and he gets Mercer in a roll-up for the 1-2-3. After that, we had the next semifinal matchup, where Blake Christian defeats Jordan Oliver, gets the win after hitting a 619. And then hitting a springboard spinning splash for a three count. Christian he's just crazy. Guy's got moves for days. Good stuff. After that, we had a clusterfuck match, which is basically like a Royal Rumble, but way, way, way weirder. Completely unexplainable. There were cardboard cutouts of wrestlers in this match. We'll put that out there. A lot of weird stuff going on, but pretty entertaining if you're into this kind of stuff. Nick Gage wins the clusterfuck. And the main event, we had the finals of the Acid Cup, where Chris Dickinson defeats Blake Christian to win the whole thing. The finish comes when Dickinson gets hit with an enziguri, but recovers and then hits a Death Valley driver and his Pazuzu bomb for the 1-2-3. So Chris Dickinson is your winner of the Acid Cup this year, and huge win for him. I felt really bad for Dickinson, especially after David Bixenspan put out an article for Vice. It was really, really good, and Dickinson was one of the independent wrestlers that was highlighted, and the article was about basically with like the cancellation, essentially the cancellation of WrestleMania. We can call it whatever we want, but they've pretty much canceled. I mean, they're putting on WrestleMania, but all the shows surrounding it aren't benefiting the same way they would have in other years, obviously. And a lot of these independent shows are getting canceled, and Chris Dickinson is somebody that was going to be heavily highlighted this year in Tampa and had a lot of really big matches, and he was going to have a lot of eyes on him and probably get a lot of really big opportunities coming out of WrestleMania weekend, and he's somebody who, you know, it's going to heavily affect his career trajectory, I think, unless this whole coronavirus thing like blows over quickly and he can be right back out there. But I feel really bad for him. So it's good to see a guy like him get a big win in the Acid Cup. So good stuff. Up next, we have Impact Wrestling results kicked off with the North retaining their Impact Tag Team titles over the team of TJP and Fall of Baugh. The finish comes when North hits their Northern Assault finisher for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Chris Bay defeating Damian Drake by pinfall. Finish comes with a jumping spin kick into a springboard famouser, if that makes sense. So he hits a jumping spin kick, and then he hits a springboard famouser for the win. After that, the team of Joey Ryan and Rob Van Dam with Katie Forbes in their corner defeat the team of the Deaners. The finish comes when RVD hits the 5-star frog splash for the 1-2-3. I do not know how I feel about the team of Joey Ryan and RVD. I don't necessarily hate it. I don't hate it. It's kind of weird, but we'll see where it goes. I'm at least intrigued with kind of like, I'm interested enough about it that it, you know, we'll see. Because historically speaking, I'm not a huge Joey Ryan fan. I'm going to be honest with you about that. I loved his stuff on Being the Elite, but as far as like in-ring wrestling goes and stuff, I'm really not a huge fan of Joey Ryan. I respect what he's done in the business. I respect, you know, bar wrestling, and I respect, you know, all of his work with PWG and Impact in the past and all that stuff. Like, I respect Joey Ryan, and he seems like a great guy. I've watched his shoot interviews, but I'm just not a huge fan of his. He's not really my cup of tea personally, but him and Rob Van Dam together could make for some interesting stuff. Up next, Kira Hogan defeats Lacey Ryan, gets the win after hitting a fireman's neck breaker to get the 1-2-3. After that, Daga defeats Jake Crist, gets the win with a half Nelson suplex into a butterfly code breaker. That's a mouthful, but I hope I painted a good enough picture for you there. Full Nelson suplex into a butterfly code breaker for the 1-2-3. Daga over Jake Crist. After that, we basically get a segment where Sami Callihan shows up, throws a fireball into Ken Shamrock's face, and then disappears. So Sami Callihan is now doing his hacker gimmick, similar to what he was doing as Solomon Crowe on NXT. I'd imagine he'll have a much different twist on the hacker gimmick in Impact Wrestling, but it is good to see him continuing to evolve his character, though. I will give him credit for that. Sami Callihan, I said it consistently this past year, he over-delivered, in my opinion, in every situation he was in all year. Like, I go into most Sami Callihan matches honestly thinking that I'm usually going into it being like, oh, this will probably be, like, okay. Probably pretty average, but probably pretty good. But I never think he's going to, like, blow me away. And a lot of the time he has matches, and, like, by the end of it, I'm pretty blown away. And I'm like, you know. So he's over-delivered, in my opinion, this entire past year. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he does with this new tweak on his gimmick going forward in Impact Wrestling. Up next, we got some Ring of Honor results for you. You know, obviously, not much to talk about. Two good matches, but just not a whole lot, especially because Ring of Honor, of course, has postponed their big events going forward as well. So Flip Gordon kicks off the show winning a 20-person Battle Royal. He gets a future Ring of Honor World title shot with that win. I like that a lot. I think that Flip Gordon is somebody that, you know, he'll get the title shot, by the way, at Supercard of Honor. I really think that if Flip Gordon is signed long-term to Ring of Honor, they need to build him as, like, one of their next guys. I've been saying that about Jonathan Gresham forever, and we'll talk about him in a second. But Flip Gordon, like, it's so confusing with Flip Gordon and Marty Scurll, because Marty was a free agent and had the chance to go elsewhere, and I honestly believe that him signing with Ring of Honor, and especially in the position he's in with Ring of Honor, there has to be some sort of contingency there where they're going to be cross-promoting Ring of Honor, NWA, and AEW. Obviously, they're already doing that with NWA, where Marty is the next challenger for Nick Aldis. This is NWA World's Heavyweight title. But Flip Gordon is somebody that, you know, if he's signed to Ring of Honor long term, he needs to be one of their top stars if he can stay healthy. I mean, he has had some pretty big injuries. But yeah, it's just strange. It's strange, like, it's hard to say, like, you know, I just don't know what's going on with Ring of Honor. Like, if Marty becomes the NWA World's Champion, then I think we're going to definitely see a lot more cross-promotion, because he'd have that NWA title, and then maybe he would show up on, like, AEW TV with the NWA title. Like, that, I think, would be pretty huge. But, you know, Flip Gordon maybe can also kind of be with him, Villain Club style, kind of, you know, like, maybe they can bring in the entire Villain Club into AEW. That's totally possible. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of options there, and I'm really happy to see Flip Gordon as the number one contender, especially if the champion is Roosh going into that match. That could be really good stuff. So, we'll see. And the only other match we had on the show, Jeff Cobb and Dan Moff defeat Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham. Excuse me, clear my throat there. Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham. Jay Lethal and Gresham, of course, are the ROH World Champions, World Tag Team Champions. I've been saying it forever. I think Jonathan Gresham should have been the World Champion by now, but all four of these guys are incredible performers. Moff, Cobb, Gresham, and Lethal, just world class. Moff gets the win with a burning hammer on Lethal, by the way, in this match, and the team of Cobb and Moff have now become number one contenders. They will receive a future Ring of Honor tag team title match because of this win. I'm not really a huge fan of non-title matches because I feel like, okay, well, you just beat them. You should beat the champions. But, you know, at least everyone in this match is incredibly talented. So seeing another match between these four is going to be good stuff. So we'll see where all that goes, but I would hope that Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham will hold on to the titles ultimately, but if they don't, maybe we'll get a good feud, a good feud between Gresham and Lethal, and hopefully Gresham wins that feud and then moves on. But similar to Flip Gordon, I don't know, like, how long Jonathan Gresham is signed for. Like, if he's signed long term, you got to push the guy. But I think that the second he's available, a company like AEW, maybe NXT even, and those companies are going to be very interested in a guy like Jonathan Gresham, and I don't know how Ring of Honor is going to be able to keep these people unless they offer them a ton of money and a ton of creative control, which obviously Marty Scurll got, but how many of those kind of contracts can Ring of Honor really afford to put out there? So, yeah, interesting times for Ring of Honor, but, you know, good show here. Two good matches and two number one contenders coming out of it. Up next, we got the results for 205 Live. This aired on Friday, right after SmackDown, in front of no fans. Started off with Danny Burch defeating Jaquan Wild. Got the win with the crossface to make Wild tap out. Only other match we had was Isaiah Swerve Scott defeating Oney Lorcan in a great match. Both of these wrestlers are so talented. Swerve got the win after hitting a double stomp for the top rope, which he used to call the kill shot in Lucha Underground. And that's actually where I became familiar with Swerve, was through his work in Lucha Underground years ago. And then I interviewed him on my personal podcast, and he was a really, really awesome dude. I saw him live in Glory Pro. It's great to see him, you know, doing his thing on NXT and on 205 Live. And I think he's a future star. For, you know, if booked correctly, Swerve is like a main event level guy, in my opinion. He really is. And Oney Lorcan is he's just solid. I mean, just always has good matches, doesn't matter who his opponent is. Always looks believable. Everything always looks crisp. His timing is fantastic. I mean, Oney Lorcan is just a straight up professional. And this was a great match. And lastly, we have NXT UK results. Started off with NXT UK Women's Champ Kaylee Ray defeating Dani Luna. The finish came after she hit a gory bomb. Ridge Holland defeated Joseph Connors up next. The finish came after Holland hit the Northern Grit. And this was definitely the biggest win for Ridge Holland so far. Joseph Connors is somebody that's kind of been like stop, start, pushed over time with NXT UK. That first NXT UK tournament, he was really highlighted, especially by, I think Michael Cole was the one who really, really, really put him over. And Connors, in my opinion, is a very solid performer, but he just never really hit that next level. At least he hasn't yet. So, big win there for Ridge Holland. After that, Cassius Ohno gets the win over Kenny Williams. Basically, Ohno hits a roaring elbow and knocked out Williams and locked him in the Cassius clutch. And the referee ends the match. Loved it. I love what they're doing with Cassius Ohno right now. Just keep doing this. I love, love, love what they're doing with Cassius Ohno and NXT UK. Awesome stuff. And in the main event, Gallus defeats the team of Trent Seven, Flash Morgan Webster, and Dave Mastiff. The finish comes when Joe Coffey hits all the best for the bells. That's always such a mouthful of a finishing move to say. And he picks up the win for Gallus. So, big win for Gallus. I'm a really, really, really big fan of Flash Morgan Webster. I like Trent Seven. I like Dave Mastiff as well. Both guys are individual in their own ways, but I'm a real big fan of Flash Morgan Webster, personally. But of everything on this show, I'm the biggest fan of what they're doing with Cassius Ohno. I can't stress it enough. This is how he should have been booked from the start of him being in NXT. But to see him doing what he's doing over on NXT UK, I really enjoy, because I think if built correctly, him versus Walter could be an amazing, amazing matchup for the NXT UK title at some point. And once again, also if built up correctly, Cassius Ohno versus Finn Balor could be great. It could him versus Tyler Bate could be great. Him versus so many people could be so great, as long as they keep Cassius Ohno looking strong. And he's so good that he can regain credibility at the drop of a hat. I mean, he's somebody that was basically a gatekeeper in the wrong way in pro wrestling. Basically like a jobber to the stars in NXT for the first like couple years he was back after, you know, leaving WWE initially and going back out to the indies, coming back. He basically was set up as like a gatekeeper / jobber, and he's reinventing himself in NXT UK in a really, really, really great way. I think this is all fantastic stuff, and I would love to see the former Chris Hero become a main event level guy again, because he absolutely has the talent, and he's been doing this since like the late 90s, so the guy deserves it. All right, everyone, that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. If you want to check out more of my wrestling thoughts and more of my thoughts just on life and in longer form, right now, me and Jesse Davin, who you might know from Twitter at Jesse the Buckeye, me and her have been doing some live streams on her YouTube channel. We did two of them recently over the last 2 days, and we'll have more of them coming up very soon in the future. We're just kind of sporadically doing them right now since everyone's stuck at home. But we'll do them on a regular basis starting soon. So if you want to check those out and hear, you know, elaborated thoughts on other stuff outside of what I've covered here on the Weekender, check that out over on Jesse's YouTube channel. Just type her name in, Jessidavin. Should come right up. And make sure to give me a follow on Twitter at FightTalk_. That's FIGHTTALK_. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.